Can Amazon make money?
Well,
for over two decades, Amazon was making billions in revenue, but barely breaking even or even losing money. People weren't sure if Amazon would ever turn a profit. But after achieving complete market domination, Bezos retired in 2021, and Amazon finally turned on the profit machine. Within just the last 4 years, Amazon has gone from losing $3.57 billion to netting $85 billion on an annualized basis. In fact, Amazon is now generating more profit than Meta, and almost as much profit as Nvidia, despite only having 10% net margins. Amazon is now one of the most profitable companies ever, and this was Bezos' plan all along. Amazon's first income was in 2003, $35 million. But for many years after, nothing much changed. Their revenue was going up and up, and so was their market cap. Yet, profit was flat, though that didn't bother Bezos. Because behind that flat line was a lot of explosive growth, just not in profit.
Just released its Kindle Fire HDX tablet in typical Amazon style without making a profit on the device.
So you sell this at break-even?
We sell this at break-even, and then we
That's
hope to
That's a very thin margin.
It's a very thin margin, but we hope to make money when you
sell all the stuff. That's always been your philosophy.
Exactly.
All kinds of Amazon's products and services were sold at cost or at a loss. And any profits they did make weren't cashed out for investors or Bezos, but thrown straight back into the business. Bezos wasn't just competing with the bookstores or the postal service, but everyone. Amazon had gone narrow and deep in e-commerce and book sales. Now they were going wide into every industry you could imagine. Grocery deliveries, fashion, TV shows, data centers, healthcare. But some weren't happy about this.
There are areas where your power is so great and your margin, you're prepared to make it so thin that you can drive people out of business, and you have that kind of strength, and people worried, is Amazon ruthless in their pursuit of market share?
The internet is disrupting every media industry, Charlie. You know, people can complain about that, but complaining is not a strategy.
But how could they do this? Or rather, why would they do this? Why break into all these industries and not make any money? It all comes back to Bezos' philosophy. Your margin is my opportunity. Other companies, be it fulfillment, retailers, delivery services, devices, or any other competitor to Amazon, were sitting comfortable on a nice profit margin. There was very little disruption, and Bezos saw this as an opportunity.
It's kind of like we built this lemonade stand, you know, 20 years ago. The lemonade stand has become very profitable over time. But we also decided to use our skills and the assets that we've acquired over time to open a hamburger stand and a hot dog stand and so on and so on. So we're investing in new initiatives.
But to do this, he would need scale. Massive scale. Because the bigger you are, the less money each shipment, Kindle, or product costs. This is called economies of scale. The more products you can produce, the more your costs get spread out. That's how Amazon could offer services at such low margins. But all of these cost a lot of money, and for a long time. For decades, Amazon operated on razor-thin margins, which Bezos was upfront about. He literally told shareholders in 1997 that it's all about the long term. We will continue to make investment decisions in light of long-term market leadership considerations rather than short-term profitability considerations or short-term Wall Street reactions. But there was another problem. The plan was to grow and reinvest money back into the company, but Bezos' hand was also forced, something that sets apart Amazon from other startups. Equity. This is the way most companies raise money. They sell a percentage of company ownership in exchange for cash to grow the business. There are early private seed rounds, growth rounds, and big initial public offerings or IPOs. From equity, Google has raised a total of $1.7 billion, most from their IPO. Airbnb has raised $9.9 billion. Meta has raised $18 billion, and Uber an absurd $29.6 billion. Yet currently, as of me writing this, Amazon outranks all of these companies in market cap, but raised just $63 million from equity. That even includes their IPO, by the way, which was all the way back in 1997. Amazon didn't have a war chest like its peers. Amazon had to go lean, meaning Amazon had to go fundraise through debt. Specifically, convertible bonds, about $1.2 billion worth, and bank loans, about $2 billion worth, which they had to pay back. But there's one big unanswered question here. If they didn't have heaps of VC funding, were reinvesting profits, and were operating on razor-thin margins, how did Amazon not fall apart? Something's not adding up. In truth, Bezos could do this at such scale because he had a secret weapon. Bezos' secret weapon was AWS. Your secret weapon could be AI. That's why I'm excited to talk about today's sponsor, Warp. AI coding tools often get written off as gimmicks. Fun for toy projects, but useless once you're dealing with a real code base. Warp is trying to prove that wrong. Warp calls itself an agentic development environment. Basically, you can code, review, and ship with multiple AI agents inside one environment. Think Cloud Code or Cursor, but with a much deeper understanding of your projects. And they've got receipts. Warp is ranked number one on Terminal Bench. On Sweetbench Verified, it scored 75.8%, top 3 worldwide, ahead of Cloud Code, Codex, and Gemini CLI. You can check those at tbench.ai and sweetbench.com yourself. In practice, that means real-time indexing across multiple repos so agents understand your codebase, a dedicated review panel where you can see diffs against branch or master and fix them in line, and the ability to reprompt specific changes in plain English. There's also a built-in text editor for when you want to take over, plus an agent management UI where you can scope rules per project or run several agents side by side without losing track. I put it to the test with my own bond investing app, Silo. Warp indexed extremely complex pages like the main portfolio view of the app within 30 seconds and immediately started surfacing ways to clean up the architecture and make the organization more efficient. It's the kind of thing that usually involves days of back and forth reviews. Let me be clear, it's not replacing engineers, but it definitely speeds them up. Warp is free to try, but for a limited time, my friends at Warp are offering their Warp Pro plan for only $5. Use code Logically to redeem at go.warp.dev/logically or click the link in the description. Thank you to Warp for supporting our videos. In 1997, a crucial figure joined Amazon, Andy Jassy, Bezos' personal technical assistant, and he noticed a problem. Amazon was generating mountains of data, databases on customer details, order details, product titles, descriptions, categories, weight, color thumbnails, and so much more. Imagine millions of unique SKUs which had to be sorted so customers could instantly find what they want. They were outsourcing third-party storage and servers, but the solutions weren't great. They were slow, inefficient, and were grinding things to a halt. So, Jassy pitched an idea. What if Amazon just bought and maintained their own servers? This fixed the problem and then some, but Jassy and Bezos soon realized they had stumbled on a goldmine. Other companies were likely going to have this issue too, so what if Amazon built massive data centers to store other companies' data as well? Truthfully, it took them quite some time to come to this conclusion, but nearly 10 years later in 2006, Amazon's latest and most important division was launched, Amazon Web Services, or AWS.
Most internet startups and a lot of big internet companies run on top of AWS. Netflix, very famously, and you could say, oh, that's very odd because Netflix, in a way, is a competitor of Amazon.
The scale of AWS today is unbelievable. It seems like anything and everything uses AWS. Netflix does, but so does Disney Plus, Dropbox, the game company Zynga, Reddit, Pinterest, Capital One, Shopify, Goldman Sachs, even sports like NASCAR, Formula One, Major League Baseball, and even the Super Bowl. Heck, even the CIA signed a $600 million contract with AWS. If the CIA, aka the most paranoid customer of them all, trusted Amazon with everything, they were set. AWS swooped in and claimed the market before anybody else even actually saw the transition to cloud computing. But it somehow goes even bigger than that. Amazon was so early and went so hard that they essentially built the foundation for all of the internet. And now we see the fruits of this investment. AWS broke even around 2009, then became more and more lucrative. Its revenue and income began doubling every year. In 2014, AWS generated $4.6 billion. Yet, just 2 years later, this was at $12.2 billion. That seems kind of low. After all, that same year, Amazon's North American retail business made $79.7 billion in revenue. Their total retail worldwide was $123 billion. That's 10 times more revenue. AWS seems almost pathetic in comparison, until we look a bit closer. The profit on that retail was $2.36 billion. Their international retail also lost Amazon $1.2 billion. But AWS made Amazon $3.1 billion in profit. Despite bringing in one-tenth as much revenue, AWS made twice the amount of profit as Amazon's retail. That's the key. AWS was Amazon's growth engine. They didn't need equity fundraising because they had AWS. That meant they could focus all other parts of Amazon on growth, scale, and gaining customer loyalty. Customers join because it's cheap and great. Amazon grows giant, and eventually, Amazon turns the knob from growth to profit. And the sheer scale of what came next was unbelievable. Amazon decided after two decades that it was finally time to cash out, and it began to make a lot of money. Stupid money. $2 billion in 2015, $4.3 billion in 2016, and $12 billion in 2018. Amazon did go back into the red during the pandemic, but then something crucial happened. In July 2021, Bezos stepped down as CEO, handing the reins to Andy Jassy, the man who pioneered and had run AWS for all those years. Now, as the CEO, he made the final pivot. Amazon went into full profit mode, and he did it with two key changes: cut costs and raise prices. He rolled out tiered pricing on AWS, pushing customers towards higher margin services. He increased enterprise support fees, boosting AWS operating margin from the already absurd 30% to 36%. Amazon's ad services were also growing and generated $13.9 billion in revenue in 2025, which, like AWS, is absurdly profitable. The price of Amazon's US membership jumped from $119 to $139. But this also meant trimming areas that weren't making money or wouldn't in the future. Amazon announced 18,000 corporate and tech job cuts in underperforming teams, then another 9,000. Jassy's profit mandate was working, with the secret cushion of AWS profits absorbing any shocks. For the full year, 2023 brought in $40 billion in operating income, and that was just the beginning. Fast forward to 2024, and the full year saw income of $62.2 billion. Today, Amazon has the second largest revenue on Earth, narrowly behind Walmart, and now Amazon is making annualized profit of $85 billion. It now sits among the 10 most profitable public companies worldwide. Bezos wasn't crazy. He understood something profound. Sometimes you have to sacrifice short-term profits for long-term domination. While Wall Street analysts waited for quarterly returns, Bezos had an entirely different worldview, which I think some companies should learn.
Here's a job I would reject. If somebody came up to me and said, "Jeff, I want your job to be to drive up the Amazon stock price and just manage that directly." Now, this might sound ridiculous to some of you, but many companies actually do this. They actually go out and they try to sell the stock. That's kind of the final output. And it's much better to say, "Okay, let's not do that. That's not going to be sustainable." It's kind of a silly approach.
Amazon was scaling so they can dominate, not in 1 year, not 5 years, not even 10 years, but in the distant, distant future. Delaying profits and instead building infrastructure, warehouses, servers, and also customer loyalty. Bezos built a business model with margins in mind. Your margin is my opportunity. Customers were at the center of everything. And on this channel, subscribers are at the center of everything. We're working on getting to 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, and we're over 80% there. If you subscribe right now, we might just be able to pull it off. Bezos knew that if he could serve customers better for cheaper, he could win. But to do that, he needed a profit engine to carry that business. Amazon changed the game, and that's the very nature of business itself. Change.
Companies have short lifespans, Charlie, and Amazon will be disrupted one day.
And you worry about that?
I don't worry about it because I know it's inevitable. Companies come and go. And the companies that are the shiniest and most important of any era, you wait a few decades and they're gone.
And your job is to make sure that you delay that date.
I would love for it to be after I'm dead.
Amazon may be making profits now, but it seems like their core business now sucks. And I'm not talking about AWS. Their online shopping used to be great, but now it's overpriced junk from China. Amazon has turned into the expensive Temu, and it could destroy their business. Watch this video to find out how and why. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.